on display in St. Patrick's Cathedral in Dublin hangs an ancient door with a rough hewn rectangular opening hacked in the centre of it. The story of this door of reconciliation, as it has come to be known, and the related expression of chancing one's arm are remarkable and instructive. In 1492, two prominent families in the south, the Ormonds and the Kildares, were in the midst of a bitter feud, besieged by Gerald Fitzgerald, Earl of Kildare, Sir James Butler, Earl of Ormond, and his followers took refuge in the chapter house of St. Patrick's Cathedral, making their way inside and bolting themselves in as they fled from Fitzgerald's men. As the siege wore on, the Earl of Kildare concluded that the feuding was foolish. Here were two families belonging to the same church, living in the same country, and yet trying to kill each other. So he called out to Sir James, and, as an inscription in St. Patrick's says today, undertook on his honour that he should receive no villainy. Yet, afraid of some further treachery, Ormond inside did not respond. So Kildare seized his spear and cut a hole in the door and thrust his hand through. It was grasped by another hand on the inside. The door was unbolted, opened, and the two men embraced, thus ending the family feud. From Kildare's noble gesture came the expression, chancing your arm. And friends, tonight, I'm sure each one of us are familiar with that expression, chancing your arm. It is sad to say that in our society today, when it comes to salvation, when it comes to the way of eternal life, there are so many across our land that are prepared to chance their arm. They are prepared to chance their arm. That day, the Earl of Kildare thought that he would chance his arm in order to gain peace with the Earl of Ormond. But friends, tonight, as we read in Hebrews chapter 2, the Scriptures do not teach such a thing. Throughout the Scriptures, we see that the way of salvation is plain, and that there is no chance to be taken. There is one way to merit an eternal life. In verse 3 of chapter 2, we read, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And this evening, I want us to see an offer of true mercy. An offer of true mercy. God's word, as I've said, makes it very plain that there are no chances to be taken with regard to salvation. And yet, so many would rather chance their arm, in the hope that they will be accepted of God, rather than simply trust the promises of his word. Dear friend, this evening at the outset of this message, can I ask you, what are you trusting in for eternity? Excuse me. What is the situation with you? Are you chancing your arm? Are you saying, well, preacher, well, I'll go on ahead and I think I'll be all right. So many across our land tell us that they hope to get to heaven, but they have no assurance. They're clinging on to many things in the hope that they will be all right. they are chancing their arm. And I wonder, my friend, are you in that situation this evening? As we consider these words in Hebrews chapter 3, I want us to firstly notice that there is a warning presented. There is a warning presented. The opening phrase of our verse is, "How shall we escape? How shall we escape?" Straight off, our minds consider a problem when we notice the use of the word escape. This word draws us to the idea of impending danger. Spurgeon exhorts us to let that question ring in our ears. How shall we escape? The word escape in the original Greek means literally to flee out of or to flee into some safe place or to escape. To become free from danger by avoiding some peril. For the Earl of Ormond, there was no immediate hope of escape from the attack of Kildare. They had fled from the onslaught and barricaded themselves in the building, and all looked grim. Kildare had the higher ground, as it were, on the outside. He had the ability of getting those extra resources that he needed, food, supplies, equipment, more help if required. The picture on the opposite side of the door was very different. Really, without a miracle, there was no hope of escape. There was no hope of salvation. And it all looked grim. Oh, eventually the supplies would run out, any little that they had. And death would come their way. God's word here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, gives us a warning of impending danger from which we must escape. And perhaps you're sitting here tonight or listening online, dear unsaved friend, and you're saying, "Well, preacher, really, what has this to do with me? Oh, I'm not in that situation. I'm not trapped. I'm not stuck. I have liberty. I have freedom. I'm all right. I don't see any impending danger. Oh, I live a good life. I do my best in society. I'm not as bad as so-and-so down the road." But God's word reminds us, God's word clearly shows us that there is something from which we must escape. And we must escape from the wrath and judgment of God. Each one of us are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And our sin has separated us from God. And God, who is just and righteous and holy, cannot look upon sin. And sin must be punished. I wonder, dear friend, tonight, have you ever realized that you are a sinner in the sight of God? Sad to say, so many across our land have made a decision for Christ in order that they will get to heaven. And yet they have never realized that they are sinners. They have never acknowledged that their sin is heinous in the sight of God. Oh yes, they want to go to heaven, but they don't want to acknowledge that they are sinners. I'm sure if we went round the streets of this city and asked people, as we would meet them, "Do you believe you're a sinner?" Well, we would get those kind of answers. "Oh, well, I live a good life. I go to church, go to chapel. I don't do anybody any harm. I live by the golden rule." And yet our sin has separated us from God. Tonight, our verse tells us, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And what must we escape? We must escape the wrath of God. If we look at the previous two verses, we will see that there is a just recompense spoken of for disobedience and transgression. That is sin. In verse 1 of Hebrews 2, we read, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape?" Friends, is that not what we've been saying? The writer is saying that we have offended God, we have broken His law, and we do deserve to be punished for our sin. Friends, there is not one that cannot say that they have not broken God's law, that they have not offended God this week. And perhaps we can go further and say this day, because we have all offended the Lord in thought, word, and in deed. And because God is holy and righteous and just, He cannot look upon our sin. That is the wrong that we do day by day. And the Bible speaks of a place of eternal punishment for those who disobey God and reject His word. A day of judgment when those who have not turned to Christ in repentance and sought forgiveness will perish in that awful place called hell. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke of judgment and warned of hell many, many times. Perhaps you're saying, "Preacher, my minister doesn't say that, and you're just trying to scare me." My friend, this is not some story that I have dreamt up, but this is the Word of God. And I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit tonight that you will realize that if you remain in your sin and in your rebellion to God, that you will be cast into this place of eternal punishment. Place of no escape for those who reject God's only way of salvation. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 41. The Lord says, "The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity," that is, which do wrong, "and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." These aren't the words of a preacher or a denomination. They're the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Oh, today that you would heed the warning that we bring from the Scripture. But I also want us to notice that there is an offer neglected. There is an offer neglected. How shall we escape if we neglect? Again, we could return to our illustration. The word came from the outside of the cathedral door. If you open the door, your life will be spared, you will be saved, and there will be no recompense. But how often men's words are false. I'm sure, again, we can all consider times when men have given us their word, and yet very quickly that word has perished, that word has not stood. The choice for this man was to either to trust Kildare on the outside and take him at his word, or to remain inside where there was no hope of delivery. Two options: die eventually of starvation, or trust the word outside. There was a way of escape. And yet, Ormond on the inside was not prepared to take Kildare at his word. Perhaps you, my friend, have been warned of the dangers of remaining in your sin as you've listened to the gospel for weeks, months, years, a lifetime. You've heard the message of Christ's love for sinful man and how he went willingly to Calvary's cross, and there he shed his precious blood that those who turned to him would be saved. And you still neglect the warnings. There is an offer before you of salvation, and you neglect it. You're not prepared to take Christ at his word. Neglect means literally without care and thus showing no concern. To be careless. The writer warns his readers against being careless, neglectful, or unconcerned. As the Lord Jesus ministered on the earth, the reaction of many towards him was exactly the same. He used the parable in Matthew 22 to illustrate. And there we read, and Jesus answered and spake unto them by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which had a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth his other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Well, the invitation was given, but the people made light of it. And many across our land tonight make light of the message of the gospel. We considered for a time this morning of how often the Christian, as he stands firm in his faith and stands for his Lord Jesus Christ, is reproached. He becomes a byword. He is mocked and he is scorned and he is rejected. Just as men did with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This parable speaks of an invitation to join in heaven's banquet between the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the bride, those who have taken heed of the warnings and turned to Christ alone for salvation. Spurgeon noted, not if we resist it, reject it, despise it, oppose it, but if we neglect it. If a man is in business, it is not necessary that he should commit forgery in order to fail. He can simply fail by neglecting his business. If a man is sick, he need not commit suicide by taking poison. He can do it just assuredly by neglecting to take proper medicines. So it is in the things of God. Neglect is as ruinous as distinct and open opposition. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I wonder, were those who were on the inside of that door that day and they said, no, it's all right, really, there's nothing to worry about. Many across our land today have preached a false gospel. And they have told those that have been listening to them, oh, there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to worry about. God loves all, and nobody will go to hell. Perhaps you have even listened to such a message. Paul speaks of such when writing to the Thessalonians. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail uponeth a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Oh, friends, God's word is very clear. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? But I want to notice that there is a salvation to be accepted. We have seen a warning presented. We have seen an offer neglected, but there is a salvation to be accepted. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Ormond would not trust Kildare at his word, so Kildare went a step further. He'd done something unthought of or unheard of. With a spear he hacked a hole in the door before him in order to offer salvation to those inside. He stretched in his arm, not knowing the outcome of his offer of mercy. Oh, madness, you may say. Kildare said he was chancing his arm. He may have lost his life because of it. But friends, this is only an earthly story. In God's word, we have an even greater example, yea, the only example of true mercy offered. The Bible clearly shows that there is a way of salvation for lost souls. The Greek word used here for salvation describes the rescue or deliverance from danger, destruction, and peril. This evening, where is this salvation to be found? The rest of the verse and passage we read points us towards the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, the Lord commanded the people through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah to look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Many people look unto good works, religion, man's wisdom or philosophy or some other way. Solomon tells us in Proverbs that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. And your way, my friend, may seem right unto you. God's word says, but to the end thereof are the ways of death. The Bible shows us that God provided the only way of salvation. And it is not just salvation, but our text tells us that it is great salvation. I repeat those words which I quote so often when I'm preaching. One of my favorite verses of Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What great salvation. That God should give his only begotten Son for vile, wretched sinners like you and I. Acts 14:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God sent his only Son into this world to proclaim and show the way of salvation. Men rejected his words and still continue to do so. But the Lord Jesus Christ was not just prepared to take a chance to save sinners. Rather, Christ came to this earth knowing that the only way that sinners could be saved was by the shedding of his own precious blood on Calvary's cross. There was no other way that the justice of God could be met. It required a sinless sacrifice, something that you and I could never give to God. And at Calvary, as the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and died, as his precious blood was shed, a door of reconciliation was opened. Door of reconciliation for all those who would take Christ at his word and who would trust him alone for salvation. My friend, if we neglect this so great salvation, then we are pouring contempt upon the Son of God and upon the Father that sent him. My friend, precious Son of God, was bruised and marred more than any man. He was scorned, he was rejected, he was mocked. And he was nailed to a cross in Calvary for sinners like you and I. And yet you say, preacher, I'm prepared to chance my arm. I'm prepared to take my chances. Oh, I'll do my best.
and maybe it will be good enough. Dear friend, there is no taking chances with salvation. The way of salvation is clear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I wonder, will you put your trust in him tonight? Will you repent of your sin? That sin that has separated you from God. And will you rest on him alone? Will you take Christ at his word? Will you simply trust in God's only way of salvation? Will you simply come in faith and repentance to Calvary and trust Christ tonight? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Amen. We close in a word of prayer. I'm going to go to the far side of the door outside. We'll not be shaking hands because of the regulations that are in place, but if you do wish to speak to me, indicate. And we will take time a little later and we'll speak to you. We cannot save you, but we can point you to the one who can. Friend, whether in this building or listening on tonight, our prayer is that you would come and put your trust in Christ, that you would repent of your sin, that you would seek forgiveness. Lord, oh friend, perhaps you have made a profession once and it was only that you might escape punishment, but you're not sorry for your sin. You have never repented of your sin. You have never turned from your sin. Oh, that tonight you would see your sin and its awfulness and its loathsomeness in the sight of a holy and a just and a righteous God.